Hi, my name is Amy Reinicke, and I'm here to help you learn to love your body well. Love Your Body Well is a podcast designed to encourage women to find the beauty in caring for their bodies without obsession, guilt, and shame. We are ditching the perfection mindset and embracing the season of life you are in, all while figuring out what works best for you on your wellness journey. Join me for weekly episodes as we navigate this journey together, and let's start a revolution of women who are focused on wellness while also being compassionate and kind to their bodies. Are you ready to love your body well?
One of the obstacles to eating healthy oftentimes is the cost. And a lot of people think it's really expensive to eat healthy. It is, and it can be, that's for sure. But I think that there are ways around that to make it more economical to be able to choose healthier foods. So in order to kind of dive into this topic, I decided to invite Brittany Braswell here on the podcast. And Brittany is a registered dietitian, also a food freedom coach, and host of the Joy-Filled Eater podcast. She specializes in the treatment of disordered eating and negative body image, providing Christ-centered body image and food freedom coaching to Christian women who are ready to break free from the bondage of food guilt and body shame. I am so excited to talk to you today, Brittany. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much, Amy. I'm excited to be here and have this exciting conversation with you because I think a lot of people probably will benefit from hearing it.
Yes, yes. So when we connected, I was very interested in this right away because this is often the pushback that you hear is, well, it's really expensive and it can be very expensive. So let's just dive in. Let's just dive into this topic today. Why do you think that so many people have this idea around healthy food being so expensive and therefore they're unable to purchase it or incorporate it into their diet?
Well, I think it all starts with us having an skewed maybe idea of what healthy means. That so often society tells us, like, in order to be quote unquote healthy, you have to have these super, you know, like organic, high quality, non-GMO, all these different types of fresh produce. And you've got to get your meats when they're, you know, specifically this way. They need to be fresh and never frozen. And there's all these stipulations around what people say are healthy. Versus really looking at it from a standpoint of, even if we just got rid of the word healthy, which I have to do sometimes. I work mostly with women who do have a very disordered relationship or they have a lot of anxiety around food. And sometimes that stems from like this expectation of I have to eat this one right, best only way. And that doesn't fit in my budget. And so there's almost this automatic sense of like guilt or shame on, I can't do this. So I either don't deserve it or it's just, I'm never going to be healthy because it's too expensive or I can't afford it or it takes way too much time to do all the Pinterest perfect meal prep. And so I think when we can wrap our minds around, instead of just thinking what's healthy or what does society or culture tell me is healthy, to think about what do I actually need and what's going to benefit my body? And how can I incorporate that not just into these, you know, seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables, but how can I also include that in a way that meets my budget, my lifestyle, my time schedule, and my even abilities to cook in the kitchen or to food prep or lack thereof? So I think there's so many factors to include. And we automatically just assume healthy means, you know, super high quality, fresh meats, and then, you know, lean for the most part. So many people say, I've got to have this, you know, really low fat, 97%. Muscle and, you know, 3% fat on their beef, and it's got to be grass fed and all these things. So I think we just start with this idea of this maybe incorrect or guilt inducing idea of what healthy really, what we think it has to look like.
Yeah. I think it's because our tendency is to look at extremes.
Yes.
I think it's this very black and white thinking. It is easier.
Yeah.
I talk about this a lot on the podcast about this gray area or the messy middle, it's called sometimes. And it can feel really, I can't find the right word for it right now, kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
To be in this gray area that you're like, but hold on, I have all these ideas of what healthy means and what I've been told, or maybe it's the people I follow, maybe it's the podcasts I listen to that I should only eat grass-fed beef, or I can't ever have something that isn't organic. If I do that, then I'm not being healthy. And so I think that we kind of have to shift and allow ourselves to be a little bit more fluid in nature mm-hmm. with that idea. But I will say, so I have a past with disordered eating. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that most people who listened to my podcast have had some sort of disordered eating, or they know someone who has had disordered eating, or health or wellness or weight has been a focus for them, probably for many years. I find it hard to believe that people who click play on this podcast don't fall in one of those categories.
Right, right.
So it's helping people really understand that when we live in those extremes, it's not really benefiting us.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that you really nailed it when you said that being healthy looks this exact one way. And it's, I always say, coming home to yourself and asking yourself, okay, so healthy to everybody else on the internet and everybody else that I know, this might be their idea of healthy, but what's my idea of healthy? And I think it's being very secure and knowing what is my idea of healthy and knowing that whatever that is might look different than the person next to you and that that's still okay.
Yes. And I love the way you said it there, Amy, because it's not even, I think sometimes too, we can even take that to an extreme and say, this is what healthy means for me all the time. But I will tell you, like, even day to day, what might be healthy? And again, this is why sometimes I ditch this word for beneficial instead of healthy.
Yeah.
What might benefit me right now might be very different 2 hours from now. Because if I go for a walk, I live in the heart of Alabama and it's like 100. I mean, it's so hot. It is so hot. And if I am outside and I am, you know, taking a walk, walking my dogs, doing something, and my blood sugar starts to drop, what's healthy for me is not going to be a veggie loaded, you know, entree salad with some grilled chicken on top. What I'm going to need in that moment is a quick, easy, digestible source of carbohydrate to pull my blood sugar back up to a safe place. And then probably pair that with something to help stabilize it, like some protein or fiber or fat. But to start with, my blood sugar is going to stay plummeted. I'm going to be in a dangerous spot if I try to go for something high fiber, low carb. That is not healthy, right? So we've got to think about not just what do I think is a nutrient dense life or nutrient dense dietary, you know, way of eating, but how might that fluctuate and kind of give myself the grace and permission to honor what my body's needing in the moment too.
Do you think that that's hard for people to do right now based on all the messaging that we've had over the years of what it looks like? And so it's been really easy to kind of tune out the messages our bodies are sending us and instead just like go off of a sheet of paper or off a recommendation by a diet or someone. And we've really lost that sense of tuning into ourselves and saying, what do I need and what does that look like?
100%. Because it is so much easier and more comfortable for us to use a meal plan, some kind of dietary guidelines to create rules, because rules help us feel safe. And when we do that instead of trusting our body, which feels way less safe so often, and if you've ever had an experience where you feel like your body has betrayed you, or something has happened where you thought you were listening to your body, or you maybe had a healthy relationship with your body and something happened, right? That some unfortunate circumstance, whether it was in your control or not, and it pulled you away to this place where you're like, I can't listen to my body. I can't trust it. Or I don't know even how to tell what it's trying to communicate to me. It can be hard to get back to that place. And so we tend to default to this place of fear of going, I can't trust my own ability to make my decisions. And so if I follow diet rules, if I follow this particular diet or this meal plan, or even I'm a dietitian saying this, if I, you know, this is my dietitian, what do I need to eat and how much? Then we get to this place of going, okay, that feels safer because someone else is telling me what to do. I can trust them more than I can trust myself. And if it doesn't work, it's not my fault.
Oh gosh.
We get to this place where we're like, that feels safe. Because if it's not my fault, then I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We almost make it like morally okay, or more, it feels morally wrong, you know, that we've done something morally wrong if it doesn't work. And so taking that responsibility instead of just taking ownership without guilt and shame, just taking ownership and saying, okay, I'm just gathering data. And that's all it is data. I think that we make it very emotional. I speak from experience. Mm-hmm. We make it very emotional. We make it very about who we are. Like, if I am currently in a larger body, then that means that I am lazy. I don't care about my health and yada, yada, yada. And that's not true. And I think that that truly is the heart of this podcast and why I created Love Your Body Well, is to help people understand that you can take care of your right now body no matter what size it is. It's okay if you want to get into a healthier size. It's okay if you need to lose weight in order to feel physically better in your body and to live the life that you want to live, but it has to be rooted in self-love. It's when we are chasing things for the wrong reasons and the intention behind it is just to be thin, and that's it. And that's what I think a lot of diet culture has told us. Like, we just have to be as thin as we can be. I ask the question, why? Like, why? Why do you need to be as thin as you can be? Like, what does that mean that you can't have now? You know? So
I just got off like minutes before I hopped on for us to have this conversation. I hopped off a client session and we were having the same conversation with the words you just said on it's data gathering. Like, you've got to switch from this place of judgment to this place of just asking questions. So when you find yourself like, just like quick tip here, when you find yourself going, I shouldn't do that, or it shouldn't be this way, or this isn't good, to change those like condemning judgmental statements of ourselves into a question going, why might this be the case? Why might I be hungry now when I did eat an hour ago? And just be able to look for that like emotionally neutral data gathering information so that we can use that as a way to inform our decisions moving forward.
Yes. Now, tying this into groceries, because we just got down, we got real deep, real fast there, Brittany.
We did.
But I loved it, to be honest. I loved everything that we just talked about there. But I do want to tie this in because I think that we can with groceries and in regards to that whole like judgment piece, that if I don't have organic or if I didn't only shop the perimeter of the grocery store, then it's the same kind of thing. I'm not healthy. I'm not, oh, because I can't shop there, that means that that's why I'm heavier than I am, or that's why I have this current disease, or, you know, fill in the blank. So let's kind of flip the script on that. Because I think we can.
And
I think that we
can
help people understand that you actually are not, I hate the thing, you are what you eat.
Uh-huh.
I think that can be really harmful to some people and in their mind.
Yes.
I think that one statement can be very harmful.
Yeah. So we've got to get away from that, because again, that's coming back to this idea of like, we're adding morals to like, I'm eating good or I'm eating bad food. Right. And when we attach morals to the food we eat, whether it has to do with the quality of the food or whether it has to do with the type of food or the amount, how packaged it is or how whole or quote unquote clean, right? We're adding that moralization essentially to ourselves, going, well, I am bad or I'm unworthy or I'm not quote unquote healthy because I ate this food that I or someone else considers less than. So we can absolutely choose foods that still nourish our body well, and they do not have to be the most expensive, because unfortunately, the way we live in our society today, there are certain types of foods that tend to be more expensive. And that doesn't mean we only need to look for or choose those types of foods. There are 100 different workarounds. I work with so many college students that are like, Brittany, I don't know how to feed myself in a dorm, right? Like, I'm eating very differently now in a dorm and on, you know, on campus dining than I was when I was having some home cooked meals at home. And how do I do that and still feel good? Cause it's been a few weeks of school and I'm feeling the difference. I can tell I don't feel as well. So what do I do about it? So it is absolutely possible, but we've got to start off by getting away from this idea of like certain foods are good or certain foods are healthy. And that's what I have to have in order to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you recommend that somebody begins to kind of flip that script and change their mindset surrounding foods? I want to say something here before we go further. I don't think that what Brittany's saying is, yes, I'm going to eat Pop-Tarts and fruit snacks, and I'm going to put that in my cart and I'm going to tell myself that that's quote unquote healthy. That's not really what we're getting at here. So I just want to make sure that we're being very clear here. We're talking about nourishing foods. So
yes,
let's kind of dive into that and help my listeners understand how they can kind of begin to flip that script around those healthy, quote unquote, foods.
Yeah. So I think one of the first things we just have to kind of conceptualize is that oftentimes, this is not the case every time you grocery shop, because there are workarounds for this too, but oftentimes there's going to be this trade-off between time versus money. So in order to save yourself some money, you're going to need to put in usually a little bit more time. Or if you want to save yourself a little bit of time, you're probably going to have to pay a little more money for something. So an example would be like buying pre-washed, pre-cut sliced fruit, right? That's going to be more of a convenience type of item. right? When I hear the word convenient, most people think like packaged foods and frozen and individually priced or individually packaged. Yes, those are convenient. Those are going to be more expensive even than the more bulk versions of those. But even things like meats, produce that are, you know, already cut. If you think about buying a rotisserie chicken, it has already been even cooked and prepared. Those foods can still be very nourishing for our bodies and provide us a ton of nutritional benefit. They're usually going to cost more than if we do prep work ourselves, right? There's more packaging, there's labor involved with it. That's usually the biggest piece of it, right? Because when we're paying someone else to prepare our food, that's cost. We're paying for their time to do it. And so there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, there are some times I have to sacrifice some money in order to have more nourishing foods that fit our schedule. Because, mm-hmm. No, I don't have time. Like, beans is one thing I almost never buy dry and keep from scratch.
I rarely take the time
to buy dry beans. I look for canned beans that are already prepared. I usually like to do the no salt added or low sodium because I like to be able to flavor it the way that I want. But I mean, beans are a shelf stable item, still very, not as inexpensive as dry beans, but much more cost effective means of protein and fiber than a lot of meats, right? Or even some produce. So there are things that we can consider when it comes to how much time do we have available to prep. There are some really simple ways. You don't have to spend, you know, 2 or 3 hours every week trying to prep foods. I don't have the time in my schedule. I have 2 young children, 3 and 5, and we do not have time to cook at every single meal. And let alone, I hate doing dishes.
Yeah.
I don't want to wash a bunch of dishes after every single meal. And so if you can think about what are some ways that I can save some money and put in the preparation, that can be a first step to lowering your grocery bill. And then you can also go, now with the preparation, is there a way I can batch this and get it done more efficiently, faster? Mm-hmm. I'm a huge batching fan of anything, any activities where you're doing the same activity like multiple times or in larger quantities. So there are things like, okay, well, for meats, like when you get back from the grocery store, throw a bunch of chicken in the crock pot, let it cook overnight. You don't even have to sit there and do anything. Add a little bit of salt and pepper or some broth or something, and then tread it while it's warm and go ahead and stick it in the freezer. Mm-hmm. That's one of the quickest ways for us to have meat during the week if we're going to do tacos, quesadillas, some kind of pasta. Like, the chicken is already cooked, but I cooked it, so it was cheaper.
Yeah.
So when we can think about that time and money trade-off, that's a great place to start, where you can kind of inventory your schedule, look at your budget and go, what are the things that I'm going to maybe splurge on a little bit more with budget because it's going to save me a ton of time in preparation. But then where are the areas I can afford to maybe put a little bit of time in or a little bit of forethought to save a bunch of money for the month?
I think that's a really great point, that it's that time versus money. And some weeks you're going to have more time than others. Other Yep. weeks you might have more money than others. And I'll use an example of this weekend. I took my middle child with me to the grocery store and he was begging for a watermelon. And I was preparing a meal for myself and for a friend of mine. And I knew that that meal was going to be a little complicated and take me about an hour to prepare. And he kept asking for the watermelon. And I was like, I do not want to cut a watermelon on top of, you know, what I'm already doing tonight. So then he finally came up and he's like, Mom, they already have one pre-cut. And I was like, sure. Like, if the worst thing that you're asking for is watermelon, like, I will just buy that for that given time.
Yeah.
But cut watermelon or cut any fruit that's already done is not something that I would typically do, because it is significantly more expensive to purchase that way. You can easily like buy a package of grapes, soak them and rinse them off. And then you could, even if you're using them for like kids' lunches or whatever, put them in individual bags ready to go and have that ready to go for the week, or just have it clean. I find that when we prep our veggies and fruits ahead of time, we also eat them and they don't go bad as fast as well, which is also saving us money.
Yes. So that is a huge piece. If I was going to give, I mean, I could probably give tons of money saving tips here, but one of the biggest ones is you've got to start with inventorying what you have so you don't buy extra. I was guilty of this. Like last week, I got ready to go to Publix and pick up just a couple of like onesie twosie kind of produce items, not having realized my husband had done a quick grocery run to pick up milk and he knew we were out of bell peppers, which is like, that's our favorite vegetable. Like, we just slice them and eat them, throw them in stir fry, whatever. And so because I didn't inventory and I had just jotted them on my list, I picked up like 3 or 4 extra bell peppers and I was like, all right, y'all, I have not slept for like multiple days this week because I don't want them to go bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we can look and see what we have, when we look at our schedule, again, you don't even have to do bulk meal prep every week if that does not work for you. If you've got certain days of the week or certain weeks where you know this is a little less busy, we have, you know, less after school activities or less meetings or whatever, and you can go, what are a few things I can maybe prepare in advance? And this does not mean you have to pre-prep your whole meal. I mean, one of the examples you just gave, Amy, is like washing your produce. I tell my husband the same thing. Like if after I grocery shop can build in 20 or 30 minutes just to wash our produce and, you know, put it in a bowl or a Tupperware or even back. Sometimes I'll just take like the strawberry container that it comes in. I'll lay a paper towel at the bottom, rinse them in the strainer, and then stick them back in there. Know if the paper towel is in there, and especially if I go ahead and cap the little green parts off. Then when my kids want a snack or when I want to throw in some fresh fruit into lunches or dinners at night, I'm not having to take 5 extra minutes to wash and cut. I can just grab and go. Mm-hmm. When you can make nutrient-dense foods convenient, you are automatically going to get more nutritional benefit in, because if it's faster for me to grab a handful of strawberries than it is for me to like grab even like a granola bar.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a granola bar, but if I'm not getting any color on my plate and it's just an extra grain, grains are great, but I might still be missing out on something that could have been beneficial. So that's mm-hmm. where some of that little bits of prep can be so helpful in, again, keeping with a budget, but also not letting that food go to waste because you're like, I don't want to spend the time right now. I don't have the time or want to take the time to do the washing and the cutting. So let's just grab whatever's ready to go.
Yes. Couple things there. One is I would love for you to explain why putting the paper towel in like a berries container is helpful. We do the same thing, but I would love for you to share.
Yes. So I feel like I learned this, I don't even remember how long ago, but it's just, if you notice, like when you wash, there's some produce that you can leave out shelf stable, and there's some that you wash and keep in the fridge. We usually still put our berries in the fridge once I slice them. But when you put that paper towel at the bottom, it absorbs some of the extra moisture so that like mm-hmm. most of the time, especially once you've washed fruits, berries, whatever it might be, they're going to have a little bit of kind of weeping or like moisture content that's going to come out. And so when you have that in there, it doesn't hold all the moisture in. They don't sit and soak in whatever juices are coming out, and it keeps them fresh longer. So instead of my berries lasting for 3 days, they might last me more like 5 to 7 days. So yep. Again, we reduce food waste, which means we've just automatically improved our budget. We're not going out to shop for produce 3 days later.
Yes.
And throwing half of it away.
Yes. And that was my next point is I think oftentimes we go to the store and we kind of have that, I'm going to eat this and this and this and this. And we load up the cart with all this produce. And then we end up throwing half of it out. I mean, if you've never thrown out like a bag of lettuce or spinach, like tell me your ways. Because I think we are all guilty of doing that. So that was going to be something I wanted you to talk a little bit about, is kind of the process of learning what your family eats in a week or what you eat in a week, and knowing that that process is fluid.
And that's going to be unique to each family, like to your schedule, to your family's food preferences. So something that I always, always, always have on hand is frozen produce as well. And this is, again, is where we've got to look at challenging this idea of healthy means it has to be fresh, because right now in my kitchen, I have some fresh produce, I have some frozen, and I have some canned. Mm-hmm. So some things I consider when I'm buying like canned fruit is, from a gentle nutrition standpoint, I usually look for fruit that's packaged in its own juice because it doesn't have additional sweetener added to it. It maintains the normal natural flavor, which we prefer anyway. I keep the frozen, and oftentimes we kind of change out if we have canned or not, but we always want to make sure we have a variety. And we could probably increase our grocery budget a little bit, but if it's not necessary, I don't see the point in it, right? And I definitely don't want to go to the grocery store to get fresh produce every 3 to 5 days. Sometimes we do if we make our way through it quickly, but we usually buy, and this is my personal preference with our family, I usually buy enough produce to last us 3 to 5 days. And I don't go to the grocery store like every 7 days necessarily. We might do little trips here and there if we have a couple of things we missed, but I like to be able to rely on knowing, okay, these apples will last me about this many days. The berries might last about this many. So I might keep some frozen berries on hand. and can either throw those in a smoothie. I can help them. My kids love to have like warm fruit. And so we'll throw them on top of the stove with a little bit of like lemon juice and some cinnamon and get it nice and warm. And it's like a spiced fruit almost, like super simple. It takes 3 minutes. It's so good.
What fruit do you do like that?
We do like mixed berries a lot. They love that. We'll put it on top of yogurt or on top of ice cream or just have it in a bowl by itself. It's so easy and it's so fast. And all it requires me to do is open a bag and dump it in and wash a pan, drawers, and a spoon. So
okay, my kids are going to go crazy over that. They also love frozen fruit. And I love that you said that because we always have frozen fruit on hand for smoothies and things like that. But I think we forget that that produce is there. So I totally overbuy produce, if I'm honest, which is why our grocery budget feels like it's out of control sometimes. We have 3 kids.
Yeah. Well, I love it for lunches too, because my son loves mango and mango takes me a while to peel and to cut and get around the core. And then it is kind of slick, right? So you usually have to eat it with a fork. And so when I'm packing lunches, I can throw some frozen fruit in his lunchbox in a little container. And by the time he eats lunch, it's thawed. It does weep a little bit because when it comes to room temp, you have more juice. So that's why it works really well to top yogurt. Plus it kind of acts as like a little mini ice pack and keeps your yogurt cooler during the day, right? Till you get to lunch. Or you could just put in a little bowl with a container and know that it's going to be a little juicier. You might want to eat it with, you know, spoon if you really want to get all of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a really budget-friendly way to make sure that, okay, well, if I get 3 or 4 days out, Stu still wants some produce. So how can I still get that nutritional benefit without going and spending more at the grocery store? Pull some frozen fruit out or get you some canned fruit out, drain it, rinse it if you need to. But then you've got some, again, a wider variety of nutrient dense foods available. It doesn't have to be fresh from the grocery store, fresh produce ready.
Yeah, such a great point. And I love that you said about the chicken as well and with the food prep. I think that that is really helpful when you think about these ideas of ways that you can prep your food ahead of time. And I know that meal prepping can be kind of overwhelming for some people because they do feel like you have to prepare, like have like a 2 or 3 hour window that you're preparing something. So I think just knowing that whatever that process needs to look like for you is okay too. It might not be that it's Sunday. Like if Sunday passed and you didn't get your meals prepped for the week, you're not a goner.
Right?
Like
to wait till the next Sunday. You can find little ways, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes here and there. For me, I consider food prep anything that I can do before it's mealtime to make mealtime faster or easier. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that might mean when I am making dinner, maybe I make 2 batches or I make extra more than I know I'm going to need so that I will have some leftovers that I can eat the next day or that I can send in somebody's lunch. Or if I'm going to make a crock pot recipe, I maybe make enough for 2 or 3. And instead of cooking all of it, I dump half of it in a gallon size Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer so that I've only done the preparation and the cleanup one time, but now I have, you know, 2 or 3 meals worth. So there's things you can do like that, even in the moment of prepping whatever else you're making. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to take like another time slot out of your day. You just make multiple at the time you're already going to be making it anyway. So you have cleanup one time.
Yes, that is a saving grace for me. I do that as well. Not as often as I should, but when I do it, I'm always like, why do I not do that more? That is such a time saver. I will say that I try to make enough for dinner that I always will have leftovers for at least myself and my husband for the next day, something that we can eat, you know, a couple days for the week. So that I think is really helpful too, because I think this idea around wanting to eat like nutritionally like balanced and all of this is that you have to make every single meal fresh right then. And that takes a lot of time and prep as well. Yeah. And so like kind of changing your mind around that, you know, you can eat the same thing for breakfast every day in a week. Like you could prep it all at once and know that's what you're eating and do the same thing for lunches or dinner, you know, like pick like 2 or 3 dinners and then have leftovers. Hopefully your family likes leftovers.
So that is one thing I like about prepping ahead, because I don't love to eat the same thing like multiple days in a row, but I do. I mean, I will prep something for dinner and know that, okay, I've got enough for lunch twice during the week. Mm-hmm. So we usually kind of plan, or I like to plan my like days I'm actually going to cook like 2 or 3 days apart, because I don't want to make enough to eat the same meal for like 4 or 5 days, but I mean, we might have it for 2 or 3. Or like when I mentioned throwing the chicken in the crock pot, or you can, you know, throw chicken or shrimp or beef, whatever. I'll do the same thing. I'll like brown a bunch of beef, and instead of seasoning it, I've used basic salt and pepper, freeze it. And then when you're ready to use it, if I'm going to make tacos, I'll get out, you know, one bag of it that I put in the freezer, add some taco seasoning, and then I'm done, right? But I'll have more that's not flavored yet. So if I want to add it to a spaghetti sauce, then I've got a marinara. So when you can just do something really simple, like salt, pepper, or garlic powder, whatever it is, then you can flavor it as you go with sauce, with a spice mix, with a dressing, you know, if it's going to be for something that's marinated or on a salad or wherever. And that significantly cuts down on your budget because you're the one preparing it. I like to buy my meats and things in a little bit more bulk if I can. So whether I buy them frozen or fresh, either way, I tend to like to buy them fresh because then I can go ahead and cook them as soon as I get home. Because I know, like for me personally, the time kicker for me is if I'm getting ready to go cook and my chicken is freezing, is like still in the freezer, then I either have to sit there and let it run under the water for 20 minutes and thaw, which is really inconvenient and less safe from a food safety standpoint, or I'm going to default and go, well, let's just grab whatever's really easy and ready and quick.
Yeah.
So again, it comes back to when you can do some of the prep in order to like make it into a convenience item, eating a nutrient dense meal or snack becomes a lot faster, a lot easier, and a lot less complicated. So when you can add in ingredients that are already semi-prepped, like canned beans, right? Or if you know, I have no time at all to cook chicken this week or to cook whatever, even if you buy like some pre-cooked, it could be a rotisserie chicken, it could be some canned chicken, right? If you know, like, I might need some meat 4 or 5 days from now, and our meat is only good for 3 more days. Have some other sources of protein on hand that are convenient that you can go ahead and pull, right? To balance out your meal from a nutritional standpoint and give you a little variety, and know that it does all have to be fresh, you know, immediately.
Yeah, it's just more along the lines of this kind of challenging your current thought process on what this has to look like and allowing your mind to change a little bit in order to honor your body in a way that is going to give you nourishing foods that feel good and also honor your finances.
Yes. One of my favorite ways to do this, and some people roll their eyes at me when I say this, but like I did an experiment 3-4 weeks ago now. I frequently buy store brand versus name brand items. And for some things, I still get the name brand because the quality is not the same, or the flavor or the texture. I'm like really big on texture. I always like, if something is a weird texture, I'm like, not so much. I'll eat it if I need to, but not my preference, right? So I did something we frequently make in our house is Mexican style dishes, whether it's quesadillas, tacos, whatever, enchiladas. And so I did kind of a grocery budget test to see if I buy enough to make our, you know, family of four a dinner, and we do tacos and then add our quesadillas and then do, you know, some guacamole and tortilla chips on the side, or even just the guacamole to dip our quesadillas in. What's the cost difference if I buy all store brand versus all name brand? And it was astonishing. Between I bought whole grain tortillas for a little bit of extra fiber from a general nutrition standpoint. We got some chicken, we got some frozen fajita veggies. I had black beans to add a little bit of fiber. Also, it doesn't have to just be black beans. That just happens to be our family's favorite. Beans are a fantastic way to stretch your meat too. So like, if you need more than a pound of ground beef, you know, for your family, do like ground beef, but add in some black beans and it like stretches the meal. It's, you still get the protein, you get the fiber, and it's very filling, but it saves you a lot of money to kind of go have these there. And then I bought guacamole, maybe some salsa and tortilla chips. And I literally spent, when I did all the calculations by serving, so I didn't even do it by like, here's the whole bag of stuff I brought. I broke it down by according to how much we made for four people. I saved 46.6% by buying the store brand, like almost half the price. So I cut my grocery budget down tremendously when I did only store brand. Now, granted, I don't normally buy all store brand of everything. Like I said, there's some things, like there's certain cereals we just love in our house. Yeah. And so we're going to buy that brand. But I mean, that is a major, major difference, Amy, right? Like even if your grocery budget is $100, just for easy math, and you can buy all the same things, but spend you know, $53 or $54 instead of $100. I mean, that's massive. That's
yeah,
life-changing difference that you can use that to pay for other necessities or use some of that money and say, maybe some of these I do want to buy the convenience version mm-hmm. and still pick the store brand, right? So looking at simple things like that, going, which ones might I be able to sacrifice go into the store brand because the quality is so similar or not even noticeably different?
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point at the beginning when you started talking and saying, there are some things that are non-negotiable for you.
Yeah.
I like a specific brand. I'll never forget, it's been probably 15 years ago, but I bought the Target brand bread and it was so awful. I actually emailed Target and was like, this is like their Market Pantry or something. I don't even know if they still have Market Pantry, but I mean, I can remember the bread package. It was like red and it was the worst bread I have ever tasted in my life. And I was like, that is not, I would never buy that again simply to save 50 cents. Like it's just not worth it because while we want to save money and we want to make sure that we're like honoring our body and our finances, I think something to consider there too is if you're sitting down at a meal that you absolutely hate, that's not like your food. I think your body pays attention to that when you're sitting down and you're eating something just because it's cheap or just because it's healthy or whatever. Like we are meant to enjoy our food. Like God designed our bodies, like, and He designed food to be enjoyed and to nourish our body. And I think that making sure, I'm not saying that every meal, I say this to my kids a lot. Not every meal is going to be your very favorite meal. Like, not every meal is going to be like, this is my last supper meal. Like, that you're like, this is it. Like, if I only had one meal to eat for the rest of my life, this would be it. You're not going to have every meal like that. So I definitely don't want to give like that impression that you need to be in love with everything that you eat. But I don't think we should be like choking something down either.
No, there are going to be instances where you're at work or you're at a friend's house or, you know, another family member's house and you just have to eat what's available. And we just have to put our big girl panties on and say, I'm going to nourish my body, right? I'm just going to do it. But also when we choose foods that are satisfying, and this doesn't mean when I say a balanced plate or something nourishing, this does not mean I have a balanced plate at every single meal.
Right.
Not even like I personally look at my intake over the course of a day and the course of a week, right? Because not every meal I'm going to have all the different nutritional components, and that is okay, right? There's not judgment there. But overall, I do want to feel well. So I want a variety. And so we can consider things like that. And we also kind of have to give ourselves that grace, knowing that I want to include some things that are satisfying. It might not always be possible. When I can, I am not only going to enjoy the meal more, but I'm also probably not going to overeat because I'm still searching for that satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge factor, not only for enjoyment, but also for budget.
Yeah.
Because if you're going, well, I think I'll just buy the, I don't even know if they sell these anymore. These like, you know, the 100 calorie Oreo thin packets. These were like a thing growing up when I was
in like Snackwells
middle school. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Used to be a thing. And okay, well, do they have, you know, less sugar total energy intake than Oreos? Yes. But what happens if you eat one of those and you're like, it didn't do it. It didn't satisfy, you know, the sweet tooth, that little bit of satisfaction factor I really wanted at the meal. You're going to keep searching for that in other foods. And we kind of use the term like phantom food. Like you're trying to find something to fulfill that need. And you oftentimes are going to eat past the point of comfort strictly because you haven't been satisfied yet. So we end up spending more money on food and we don't usually feel well afterwards. And then we blame it on the things that we ate versus going, how could I have maybe just added a nice sauce or a dressing to what I had or seasoned it in a different way or did it in the oven instead of warming something in the microwave to have a different texture, right? Or using a different, some other preparation method. So when we can include satisfaction, it's better for our enjoyment and it's also better on our budget.
Yeah. Totally agree with everything that you just said there. I think we're often chasing something to try to fill a void that's there, or we know what we want, but we tell ourselves that we don't actually want it. So then we tell ourselves that we can't have it. And it just ends up creating a lot more harm than good.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it becomes very distracting and oftentimes leads to a lot of those after the fact, like, oh, well, I should have known better, or I should have done this instead. There's usually a lot of guilt and shame that gets piled on unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This has been really interesting and very eye-opening. I'm going to look at my grocery budget and see what I can do now. But what other strategies do you have that maybe we haven't talked about? Do you have any other additional strategies that you want to make sure that you tell my listeners about?
Yeah. So a few other things that we do in our house and that I regularly talk about with my college students and my other clients is check your local grocery stores to see, do they have certain days where they run ads, right? Or specials. We have a couple here at Walmart doesn't really do this. So we have like three or four different grocery stores decently close to my house. And Walmart usually has pretty decent prices, but we have some other stores that like every week or every month, they have certain things that are on sale. There's a little caveat with this though. Just because something is in your sale ad does not necessarily mean it's a great price.
Yeah.
But the more you get in the habit of looking at those sale ads, the more familiar you get with like, what is a good price? So like mm-hmm. when I see, because we eat so many bell peppers in our house, when I see like two for $3, it's not a bad price. But when I go to the grocery store and I see, okay, well, I can get it for $1 this week or $1.25. It's not a huge difference, but it is a budget saver. And I'm at least able to recognize, okay, this is really more of a sale price than buying them for, you know, $1.99 or $1.50. And so we have certain grocery stores that will have like double ad days where like the sales go from Wednesday to Wednesday. And so every Wednesday you have 2 weeks worth. So when you could do things like that, that can save money at specific locations. A lot of places don't know that, like, sorry, Publix, if you're listening, but a lot of times, like, places like Publix will say, you know, buy two for $3. And everybody thinks you got to buy two to get them for the sale price, but you can just buy one and it's $1.50.
Often. Oh, really?
Now, some stores will say, you know, you have to buy two to get the third one free, or you have to buy two to get this price. But very often, that's just, they don't want their produce to go bad either, right? So like if it's a produce sale, sometimes it may be we're starting to get lower. We want to make sure they don't go bad. So we're going to put them on sale, but now you have to buy two. And so most of the time, you don't actually have to do that. A lot of times you can just buy one and get it for the sale price and you don't have to buy more than you need and end up throwing stuff away.
Yeah.
So I like to check sale ads. And then a lot of places too will also have coupons that you can flip digitally. So like if you put your number in at the little checkout station, or if you have, I don't see these as much anymore, but if you have like a little keychain card or something that you get discounts on a lot of times on their website. And this is again where some of the planning comes in, because I consider this kind of the preparation process too for grocery planning, is if I can take 10 minutes or 5 minutes even and just hop on my local grocery store's page and go, don't know if I'm going to need all of this, but I'm going to clip these ones that I think I might need. Then when I go to grocery plan, or if I'm finishing up the grocery planning process and go, well, the store brand is cheaper, but the name brand is on sale this week. If I clip the 50% off coupon or the $1 off or whatever, can save a lot of money too. And it does, again, it's that time for money trade. You do have to have a chance to do some of that, but that can be a quick way to do that. And then I mentioned like some of the canned items, like please don't avoid the aisles. Everybody, what you hear in culture oftentimes is to eat healthy, you need to shop the perimeter, like go to the produce and the refrigerated section. And there are some awesome nutrient dense foods there, but you're missing out on a lot of really great options. Like there are so many phenomenal whole grain items and beans that have tons of vitamins and minerals and fiber and protein that stretch your budget and give you great bang for your from a nutritional standpoint. So don't avoid the aisles. They don't have to be scary. You can still eat very nourishing foods that are found there. Now you do have to watch out for some items on shelves might have higher levels of sodium.
Yeah.
But not all of them, right? Like I buy canned beans with no salt added and it's totally fine. Yeah. So you have to have a little bit of education. So having like a guide or having something to reference can be helpful. But it's also just getting in the practice and the habit of it. So you start to notice what works for you, what works for your family, what works for your schedule. So those are a couple of things that we had not touched on that I would say, make sure you shop your aisles. Doing that also helps with food waste, because if it's on an aisle, with the exception of like bread, we like to store our bread in the freezer.
So do we.
Because if you put it in the fridge, it gets stale. Like it's still fine to eat, but the texture changes.
Yeah.
Keep it in the freezer. We usually buy 2 loaves of bread at a time. And bread is not something we skimp on either. I can't take the little, I don't know, the little, not even store brand, but we like the nice thick hearty. So we keep it, we buy two at a time, one out on our cabinet, you know, on our countertop or whatever and one in the freezer. Mm-hmm. And when it thaws, it doesn't have that weird texture like it does in the fridge. It just goes back to being normal and fluffy. So
we do the same thing.
When you have the space, yeah, and you can buy some things to freeze, that can also really help on the budget because, again, less food waste and usually less trips to the grocery store. The more trips I make to the grocery store, even if I have a list, the more I'm going to spend.
So, for sure.
So if I know, let's make one, you know, main trip every like 7 to 10 days and then fill it in with a trip or two as needed for some produce or milk or the more perishable items, the less we go, the less we're going to spend.
Yes. As you were talking, I was thinking of what I do too. So I'm going to offer two tips with two specific foods that we do. One is with spinach. And I always freeze my spinach because I don't make like a spinach salad very often. I more like put spinach in things, especially like smoothies. So I actually go to Costco and they have a large bag of power greens. And when I buy that, it immediately just goes in the freezer and I use it for my smoothies. It's easy. So if you have spinach that you're like, that's going to go bad, I'm going to throw it out, just pop it in the freezer and you can stick it in smoothies. I actually prefer frozen spinach in my smoothies to regular spinach. Yep. Along the same lines with bananas, I do the same thing. If you have bananas that are like really ripe and they need to be eaten, I don't like them when they get that way. Like eating them that way, that kind of grosses me out. But once again, I will like slice them into either half or thirds and then freeze them and be able to use those in smoothies as well. And that's a really great way. Instead of buying, once again, instead of buying like frozen bananas that are already cut for you, why not just use the bananas that you have on your counter? Don't throw those out. Or maybe you don't have time or you don't want to make like banana bread or something like that. Then you can just have them waiting for you in the freezer. We've been doing that for years now. And both of those things really help with being able to like just make a quick smoothie.
Yes, we do both of those. They save so much time. And something I'll do like with our greens is like if you do have some spinach or occasionally we'll get kale if it's for a specific recipe. I usually buy those frozen because we mostly cook with them. Like I'll add them to a pasta sauce or I'll add them to a smoothie or something else. But even with the fresh like spinach or other greens, you can chop them and you can also like chop them, like mince them almost in real small pieces. Put them in an ice tray with a little bit of water and they're ready to add to a sauce. And it makes it really easy. You just like pop an ice cube or two out of it with a little bit of the water, kind of, you know, just helps it all stay together. You put it in your pan and it makes a nice little addition to a sauce.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We do things like that too to try to keep our greens and perishables from going bad.
Oh yeah. Cause they go bad quicker. Like all of a sudden it's fine one day. And I feel like you walk out of the kitchen and walk back in and all of a sudden it's like, you have to eat that within the next 30 seconds or it's disgusting. Yeah. Right.
Which is another reason I try to make time to wash the produce again, like when we get it, because if I have to chop my spinach or chop my whatever the greens are, I'm a little less likely to use it in the moment when I'm trying to put together a quick meal in, you know, 20 or 30 minutes or less. So if they're washed, and again, greens are the same way. If you can use a paper towel, stick them in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag with just one or two little paper towels in there to soak up some of that excess moisture, they'll last you a lot longer.
Yes. This has been so good. Like you've given so many great tips. I hope that people took notes. I should have said that when I started, when I hit record, was to take notes because this is really, really insightful. And I know that you also have another resource that you can provide them as well to get even more tips. So would you like to share that with them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you didn't take notes, at least that's a good thing about podcasts. You can go back and listen again, right? Get a double dose. But you can also grab, I think, all the tips just about that we've mentioned today, plus some other ones I've put in the Better Nutrition on a Budget grocery guide. So y'all can find that. I've given Amy the link to it, so it's nice and easy to find. Just brittanybrazelrd.com/Amy, and you will be able to find in there lots of different, not just tips for saving money on your groceries. There's little nutrition blurbs all the way through that help you know, like, okay, when you're in this section of the grocery store, here's some benefits of this, right? So if you're trying to talk yourself out of, that's not healthy, or what does that do for me? I've tried to answer some of that for you. So there's some things in there to help you from a mindset standpoint and also from a really practical, budget-friendly standpoint. How do I still eat nourishing foods without breaking the bank?
Thank you so much. That is going to be an amazing resource for people as well. That is great. This episode was fantastic. And I do think it's kind of flipped the script that healthy eating has to be really expensive. And there are definitely ways that we can reduce our grocery budget and still nourish our bodies with wholesome whole foods and nourishing foods. So thank you, Brittany, for coming on today and sharing that. If you could let them know also where they can find you and connect with you and listen to your podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Amy. Yeah, I'd love to connect with y'all. I release a new podcast episode every Tuesday. It's called the Joy-Filled Eater Podcast. So you can find that really anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And then I'm on Instagram at Brittany Braswell RD. So there, and there are tons of resources on the website as well. So if you head to BrittanyBraswellRD.com, there's a resources tab that points you to podcast episodes, free resources, other things that maybe will hopefully help you somewhere on your food freedom or body image journey.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Love Your Body Well podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review and let me know what resonated with you the most. This helps more people connect to the show and allows me to continue encouraging women just like you. I love when you share episodes that impacted you on social media or with your friends and family. It truly helps spread the word of compassion and kindness that all women need more of. I invite you to continue the conversation with me on my blog, loveyourbodywell.net, or on Instagram at loveyourbodywell. Thank you for being here today. I know you have a lot of podcasts to choose from, and I'm honored that you listen to mine. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not intended to provide a diagnosis or replace medical care.